Hey everyone, this is Brad. Thanks for taking the time to check out today's podcast. Unfortunately, during Sunday, we had some difficulties with technology. Our recorder kept starting and stopping. And so what's going to happen today as you listen to today's podcast is there will be some points where we're just missing it from the message. It just did not record. And so I'll just jump in and I'll just kind of fill in the blanks of what we're talking about. It'll be, let's just tell the truth, a little awkward, a little clunky, but we'll do the best we can do just to bring everybody into today's conversation of faith. So to get us started, Sunday I began the conversation of faith by just carrying around a huge bag of volleyballs and was tossing those volleyballs out into the audience. I'm going to come back to the volleyballs at the end of the message, but that's what's happening right now as we get started.
Awesome. Hey, wake up. All right, there we go. What? What are you looking at me like that for? We do this every Sunday. Can you hold that onto that? That'd be awesome. And so here we go. Yeah, sorry about the coffee. Brent, you need one of these, okay? There we go. Dustin, you want one? And so, excellent. Some of you, like, during the first gathering, they thought, okay, Big Beard, he's walking around with the red bag. Is Santa in the house? What's going on? Katie, you get one back there. Yep, sure. Anybody want a volleyball, by the way? Like, some of you want, all right, there we go. Excellent, there we go. Not a bad throw, exactly. We do this, hey, if you're here for the first time, here, David. There we go. Kind of, well, or Butch. If you're here for the first time, we do this all the time. And here's what we do. We like to throw out volleyballs. So if you're sleeping, right? Like, should I say anything else? Don't fall asleep in church, okay? So we'll get to those a little bit later. If you're here for the first time, my name is Brad. We're really excited that you're here this morning. I was not here last week. Last week, my wife and I, we were celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. And some of you saw this on Facebook. We did it Duncan style. We just got on the Harley and we went to Reno for a motorcycle rally. And we had a blast for 4 days. A couple days into it, my wife and I were having lunch in Virginia City. And we decided we really, really like each other. And it was just awesome. It was so good. And sometimes Rick and I, we were just talking about this. Sometimes you just need some face-to-face time just to rediscover how you just really like each other. My wife said to me, she said, let's go ahead and just get the kids out of the house, just sell everything and do this all the time. And I'm thinking, yes. So my son's going into sixth grade. So in about 6 years, you see the house go up for sale, right? Like, you know what's happening with the Duncans. So anyway, thank you for just allowing, I don't know, my wife and I just get out of town loving on us. There was a family here from the shift who sent us out to an amazing dinner down in Reno. We just felt loved and we felt supported. Missed last week, Jason Peter teaching. Are you kidding me? Wasn't that awesome? Great. So if you're here for the first time, let me just kind of bring you up to speed a little things that we do around here. We like to go through the Bible book at a time. And in between books, what we do is we do just a kind of a topical series. And so this last year, we finished up the book of Acts. We're in a topical series right now. I'll get to that in a minute. I want to let you know the next book we're going to be going through. And I'm going to give you some heads up on that because I'm going to ask you to start reading it now. And you should be able to read it several times before we get there. The next book that we're going to do, it's in the Old Testament. It's a book called Esther. And so if you would just spend some time reading through Esther, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great study as we go through that. Meanwhile, we're in a series right now. It's called Growing Pains. And what we're talking about is when it's time for the child to grow up. And we're just talking about us as a community of faith, all right? It's time for us to transition from a church plant into an established church. Also, as individuals, we're talking about time for us to mature more in our faith and to grow more in our faith. And so what did we do? Well, we just started our series by just going back and telling our story. And we talked about our humble beginnings, right? And then from there, we just address the obvious, okay? When you got hundreds of people showing up on a small campus like this, there's the potential for chaos. And so we spent 2 weeks talking about chaos. And so you've got, what, combat parking, you've got portable trailers and portable toilets. And so last week, Jason did an amazing job just talking about what's it look like to bear fruit in the context of chaos. All right? So that's where we've been. Let's get started with today. And to get us started, I want to ask you a few questions, okay? Do you ever feel lonely? Thank you. Yeah. If you feel lonely, those seasons or those moments of loneliness, What are some words that you would use to describe those moments, or those seasons of loneliness? What are some words?
Despair.
Despair. Thanks. Keep going.
Isolated.
Yep. What else?
Lost.
Sad. Keep going.
Relief.
I love it. We're going to get there. Keep going.
Empty.
Hopelessness.
Depressed. Yeah. So what we're saying suddenly, just I'm guessing on the words that you're sharing with me, we view loneliness as something that's bad, not good, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, now, let's just ask this question. When was the last time you felt lonely? And the truth is, for some in this room, it might be this moment right now, right? And that's okay. When was the last time you felt lonely? Interactive portion of today's conversation of faith. Anybody? Huh? Yesterday. Thank you. Somebody, thank you for that courage to say. When was the last time you felt lonely? Come on, just take the mask off. Let's just be real, okay?
Last week.
Thank you so much, John.
Last night.
Thanks. Now we're getting real. When was the last time you felt lonely?
A few days ago.
Yeah. Well, today we're going to do this. As we walk through our conversation of faith, as we look at our subject of growing pains, today we're going to look at the topic of loneliness, because the reality is that sometimes as the church grows, there's the potential for some to feel like they just kind of get lost in the shuffle. And so we're going to talk about loneliness today, and we're going to talk about it in kind of two different dimensions. We're going to talk about the individual loneliness that we feel at times as a person, right? So we're going to talk about a lonely heart, okay? And when I'm talking about lonely heart, I'm talking about the condition that is human, right? I'm talking about just simply being alive. I'm talking about longing for more, hoping for more. I'm talking about self-discovery of who I am. I'm talking about living in a broken world, that we all feel lonely and despair and sorrow at times, okay? I'm also going to do this. I'm going to talk about this idea or this concept of just being lost in the crowd. And so as a church grows, there's a potential for us at times just to feel like we're lost in the crowd. And so we'll talk about some principles. How do we address that? And what's that look like as a church? But you also need to know, but I'm probably going to spend more time this morning just talk about a lonely heart than the second, because here's the reality. Everywhere you go, you take your heart with you, right? So it doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what state you go to, what country you go to. You're taking your heart with you, and there's going to be seasons in your life where you just experience loneliness, and we need to be equipped to step into that loneliness and deal with it in a biblical manner, okay? So that's where we're going today. This morning, I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. We're in Luke chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 36. We're going to read through 50. And we have Robert and Janessa Noel coming this morning to walk us through the reading.
All right, here we go. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and her head. Wiped them with the hair of her head. There we go. And kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Excellent. Robert, Janessa, hang out up here. We'll talk to you in a minute. Let's pray, and then we'll continue on with this morning's conversation of faith. Father, thank you for your word, the graciousness that you've extended to us just by allowing us to have your word that's trustworthy, that's your heart, that's your diary, reveals your character, your personality, your hopes, your dreams. It reveals your mission. It reveals the future and what's the great hope that we have of one day being, reconciled to you for all of eternity. And so, God, you are so, so faithful to us. We love you, Father. Increase our love for you. God, I pray for your grace today as I just navigate this and walk through the text. Inspire the church. Help me to disappear, for you to be seen, for you to be known, for you to get glory, for the church to be strengthened and encouraged, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. What's up, Maddie?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Did you get new glasses?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm not very observant. All right. Have you met the Noels? Anybody here met the Noels? Yes. If you've not met the Noels, I want you to get to know them. Amazing story. Last summer at some point, I get an email from Robert, and they're living in Seattle, and he emails me and said, "Hey, we visited the shift." At that point, I don't know that I even dialed in that you were living in Seattle. Can you meet for coffee? Just have some questions about the church. And so we meet for coffee, the whole family over here at the Beanery. That was the most amazing day ever, wasn't it? Okay, thanks. Good. Excellent. And we spent a few hours there just getting to know one another, hearing the stories, found out that they went to Cornerstone Church up in Seattle, Acts 29 Church. The pastor, Adam Sennett, up there is a good friend of mine. And so it just felt like it was just kind of a small world. And then Robert just starts drilling me on theology. He starts drilling me on philosophy, wants to know the story of the shift, where we're headed, all that. It was great. I enjoyed it. I really did. I had a great time. They parted, and then I get an email a few more days. Just, I want to clarify a little bit more about theology, and there's even more coming, right? And so the reality is over a period of time, the Noels moved to Albany. And why don't you just share a little bit about your journey to Albany and why you moved to Albany?
Sounds good. So we were all living up in Seattle. We were working for Seattle's Union Gospel Mission. I was there working for them about 3 years. We came in to basically re-disciple the staff and get them back into a position to re-lead their ministry. And so that time was coming to an end, and that staff was ready to start taking back over. And so me and the family were looking for our next spot. Where does God want us to serve? Where does he want us to live? At first, we looked at a couple ministry positions in different areas, and we said, no, none of these are the correct fit. We don't think this is where God wants us. And so we reverse engineered it, and we said, well, let's look for a church first. And then we'll backpedal everything from there, work, school, and everything of that nature. And so we started doing road trips down to Oregon because we loved this area and we just liked it. And so we started looking at different churches online, watching sermons, coming on road trips down to different churches. And we ended up going on Acts 29 website, and we're sitting in our Seattle apartment. And I start clicking through all the pastors and look for different sermons. I click and I see Brad. And you guys all laugh because you think the same thing when you see a picture. You're used to a tie or something like that. And I'm like, babe, you got to see this guy. Let's check it out. So we click on a sermon. We're about halfway. We just click halfway through. We just start listening. And we connect with theology and what Brad's talking about, how he's teaching God's word and how to know him. And also being able to deliver it in a way where people can understand it and we can actually start living it out. And so that's when we got a hold of Brad, and we started coming down for road trips back and forth to the shift. Some of you guys, we met our first time, Pedro and his wife. It was his first time here for a Sunday, and we met him our first week too. And so we just started coming down, and we ended up making the move and coming down here for the shift.
I love it. What family travels 5 hours to go to church? Like, are you starting to get a picture about that? And like, what family moves to a city just because that's the church we want to go to? Like, it's unreal. Like, from my standpoint, I shared during the first gathering, like, I don't even know how to properly process that in my heart and in my mind. It's so overwhelming. And so the Noels moved to Albany and just developing a relationship and friendship and love your family and began serving. And we recognize that the calling, the gifting in Robert's life. And so about 4 months ago, we started having a conversation with Robert and saying, what's that look like? Is there a possible fit here within the community faith, within the shift at a staff level and working through some of those things? And so for 4 months, more conversations, more emails, more meetings, more working through theology, phone calls, doing a bunch of research on this guy. And about a week ago, we finally came to a place where we all agreed with elders and with Robert, this is absolutely a fit, and we're really excited to announce this morning that we've hired Robert to come on staff at the shift. And so, yes, there we go. Stoked. Now, here's what Robert's going to be doing. His title is Director of Discipleship. Now, if you're around Robert at all, he's passionate about discipleship. And so he wanted to have the title discipleship, or the word discipleship in his title and that. And so it's a little bit broad. Let me tell you specifically what that looks like, okay? Robert is gifted when it comes to strategy and implementation of a vision, what that looks like. So he's going to be working with staff, coaching staff, training staff in the area of strategy and implementation of vision towards that. He's also going to be working with volunteers, and that's where he's also going to spend a lot of time with volunteers, deacons, training, equipping, resourcing, okay? If you are in a GC, he's going to be working with Brian Joy and ongoing resourcing Brian Joy, training, facilitating you as GC leaders. What do you need? And then also, if you serve and you volunteer on a Sunday, what do you need? Are you in the right seat? What's your areas of passion? And what resources, what training, what materials do you need? Technology, on down the line. This is your guy, okay? So he's going to be meeting with you and helping to equip and train and resource you along the way as well. In fact, there's a process where we're getting resumes and I'm starting to interview people. And emotionally, in my heart and where I was at that time, I just had to shut that thing down. I said, man, I can't interview anybody. Like, my heart's not even ready to do this. And so I started praying. The elders started praying. We started praying this. God, would you just send somebody to the shift that feels called to come to the shift? People start driving 5 hours to come to the shift. Yeah. So excited. So excited. Thank you. Would you welcome them? Would you do that? Thank you. Thank you, buddy.
Awesome. I like the Seahawks.
Seahawks
family.
Seahawks family. All right. I love that. Very cool. All right, let's get into the text. Loneliness, okay? Let's start with talking about a lonely heart. So often, we categorize loneliness as bad. All right, so we associate loneliness with pain, with sorrow, with suffering. At the same time, we recognize at times we are lonely, right? And so we associate our life with pain, sorrow, and suffering, right? Now, the question is, do we like to feel pain, sorrow, and suffering? Do we like to feel that? No, right? So what do we do in those moments of loneliness comes upon us? We don't want to feel pain, sorrow, and suffering. What do? Well, we pick up the phone and say, hey, you want to hang out, right? Maybe we go to the mall and we go shopping. Maybe we turn on the TV, we turn on Xbox and we just play video games. Maybe we go to the movies. We just try to, you know, medicate our life's pain through entertainment. Now let's ask the question, how well does that work? Like, does that solve the problem? Yeah, Dr. Phil, how's that working for you, right? Like, does that solve the problem? No. Does that truly address the issue of the heart? No, it doesn't. So this morning, I want to challenge our thinking when it comes to the subject of loneliness. What if being lonely isn't bad at all? In fact, what if the feeling or the emotion of loneliness is actually a gift to you? In fact, in God's original design of mankind, he created loneliness for a purpose in your life, to grow you, to develop you. Many of you know that a few years ago, I went back to Nashville and I went for an intensive. I was kind of locked up for 8 days, took away my cell phone, and I sat in a room with a guy named Chip Dodd and a guy named Jeff Schulte and a guy named Phil Herndon, counselors, and began to address my heart and work through the pain and the sorrows and the sufferings of life. Chip Dodd has written a book. It's called Voice of the Heart. And if you're around me at any times, you hear me talk about Voice of the Heart often. And here's what Chip does is in that book, he begins to go back to the way that God creates us. When God created us, what he did is first he created us as feeling beings first. We felt when we were born before we actually thought, before our brain was fully developed. So we were born a feeling being first, right? And those feelings that we have are connected to our heart speaking to us and telling us how we're doing. 8 primary feelings that we feel, that our heart speaks to us through hurt, fear, lonely, anger, guilt, glad, shame, and sadness. Now, the problem for you and I is oftentimes we see those 8 words and we think 7 of them are horrible and 1's good. Glad, I want that one. All the rest, nope, they're bad. But what if, in God's original design, he gave you these feelings to feel for a purpose and for a reason? What if they weren't bad or good, but they were neutral? And it depends on what you do with them. For example, fear. Do we like to feel fear? Don't like to feel fear. If you're a parent and you've got a child, a young child, and that child runs out in the road in front of a semi, what do you feel? Fear. Are you justified in feeling fear? Yes. Should you feel fear? Yes. So the reality is when your heart is speaking to you, it's speaking to you through your feelings, right? And to properly address those feelings is going to dictate everything in your heart. Like, shut up, heart, don't talk. I'm going to live an impaired way. Impaired. But if we give voice to our heart, these feelings become a gift. Let me read what Chip Dodd has to say.
God gave us loneliness so we would seek out relationship. Loneliness is a feeling that speaks to our deep hunger to belong and to be known. So out of the gate, what Chip is saying is there's a purpose in loneliness. There's a function in loneliness. He goes on to say, we're often embarrassed or ashamed, or we believe that there's something wrong with us for experiencing loneliness. In truth, loneliness is the gift that speaks to how much is right with us while also pointing to how much has gone wrong. Because of loneliness, we inescapably desire relationships with ourselves, others, and God. Loneliness also points to how often we distance ourselves from all 3 vital forms of relationship. So what Chip is saying is that oftentimes there's something wrong with one of the 3 primary relationships in my life. Maybe it's the relationship that I have even with myself and who am I, or my relationship with other people, or obviously my relationship with God. And so the gift of loneliness steps in and reveals to us that there's something broken in one of these 3 primary relationships that needs to be addressed, okay? So now we go back to the text, okay? In the text, what we saw? We saw that there's this woman of the city, and then we asked the question, like, what's her name? And the reality is we don't know her name. Her name's not listed within the text. But she was still called something. People still called her something. And the question is, what did they call her? They had a name for her. And the name that they called her was this: sinner. Okay, so we're not even honoring her by calling her birth name. So we're not even calling her Mary, Kim, Susie, Jane, Patty, whatever that is, right? We're just calling her sinner. And so let's ask this question. What's that begin to feel like for her? I would just propose to you that it feels lonely. And it's clear that she's not truly welcome in the house. And so other people are invited into this party, right? And so when other people are invited to a party and you're not invited to a party, how does that feel? Well, I would submit to you that that feels lonely, okay? And it's very clear that the people don't approve of her actions, okay? You're at a dinner party, right? You're having fun. And all of a sudden, somebody comes in and they're bawling and they're the original Debbie Downer, okay?
Like, that's a dinner guest you won't want to invite over, right? Like, you're going to come over and you're going to bawl all over the place. Like, I don't want you, right? She comes in and she's bawling and she bows down before Jesus. She's crying all over his feet. Like, this is just embarrassing at this point, right? And then she does something that's so scandalous in that culture. She reaches back and lets down her hair. And in doing that in this culture, this was very sensuous in nature. And she takes her hair and she begins to wash Jesus' feet. Completely inappropriate. You don't do that, right? So she wasn't welcome, feel lonely, right? She comes anyway, and now they don't accept the things that she's doing. Feels lonely, but what? She's not stopping. She's going to continue to do it. What do we see according to the text? The gift of loneliness in her heart is leading her to address the 2 of the most vital relationships in her life, herself and her God. It's the gift of loneliness. Chip goes on to say this. He says, acknowledging loneliness allows me to see my heart and begin to know myself. It also points me to see the hearts of others and others to see my heart. And acknowledging her loneliness, it became a gift to herself. She began to realize her great, great need. And at the shift, we said this over and over and over and over again. And I'm hoping that you know where I'm going before I even say this. One thing, and only one thing, God requires for you to bring to him. Only one thing. And that is your great spiritual need. Doesn't require you to bring to him your good works or your good intentions. Nope, doesn't want that. He wants you to bring your great need. And what is Jesus' consistent response when people bring to him their great spiritual need? He meets them in their need. And listen, it's through the gift of loneliness this woman begins to look at her relationship with her heart, herself, and God. She meets Jesus, and Jesus meets her in her greatest need. All right? The gift of loneliness also reveals our need for solitude in life. Do you know you need some solitude in your life? Like no people, no phone, no books, no TV, right? Just you and your heart. Because sometimes your heart just needs to be heard by you. Sometimes your heart just needs a little TLC. Sometimes your heart just needs a little bit of rest to be rejuvenated, to be strengthened. Just you and your heart. And listen, that doesn't help when you're feeling lonely and you just grab the phone and say, hey, do you want to hang out? Just going to the mall, shopping it off, medicating through entertainment. The gift of loneliness, it brings us to a place of solitude, a place that I can address one of my most primary relationships. Me. How am I doing? How is my heart? You know, earlier I asked, when was the last time you felt lonely? The truth is, I've got one of my journals here. Anytime I'm feeling something significant, I just pause and I just write it down in my journal. And if we were just pass my journal around this room, and I'm not going to do it, all right? If we're going to do that, you'd see loneliness all over this thing. I'm lonely all the time. There's a part of me that's lonely right now. Just being honest. And I don't say that to try and get your pity. I don't. I say that with a heart of gratitude. God, thank you so much for the gift of loneliness in my heart right now, which is bringing me in some ways to places of solitude where I'm recognizing my great need for you, and you are meeting me in my great need. What a gift of loneliness. You tracking with me? The last year and a half has been lonely. The reality is, we had an elders retreat this weekend. I just shared with the elders. I said, the reality is, through the gift of loneliness, you just need to hear this. And I believe this to be true. And others who are close to me can affirm this to be true. My heart is healthier than it's ever been before. Through the gift of loneliness. Beautiful. Go to the Old Testament. Man, Moses. That dude lonely. Right? David, oh my goodness, read the Psalms, right? God, where are you? Lonely. What's he doing? He's crying out. He's sharing his great need for you, God, right? Go to the New Testament. Paul, at one point, he said, man, I was on trial and everybody else abandoned me. He is lonely.
By the way, don't forget Jesus. Jesus experienced loneliness as well on this earth. Man, having the Father's back turned against him, painful. Painful. What a gift loneliness can be, though, to our hearts. All right, now, so the truth is we all experience some degree of loneliness in our life, right? Now, I want to turn the corner now. I want to discuss a little bit about being lost in the crowd, specifically in the context of a growing church. So here's the reality. So church is planted. As a church grows, there's some pitfalls along the way. And if we're not careful, we might fall into them. And I would just tell you the truth that there are some pitfalls that we've fallen into. And we need to simply make some adjustments along the way, okay? So to get a picture of what we're talking about, I want to retell the story. And at this point in Sunday's message, I started using the volleyballs and gathering the volleyballs together in my arms as a picture of people coming together to plant a church. And so I start up by telling the story of myself and Neil McKinney moving back here to Albany, Oregon. Me coming home from Nashville and Neil from Alabama, and that's where we pick it up again.
Church in Oregon. God speaks to Neil Hart in Alabama. Go plant a church in Oregon. We meet and we head off and we go to Oregon. All right? We show up in Oregon and we just start talking to people and just casting vision. God, what are you going to do? Aaron, can you cast? We meet one of my buddies, Rich Scott. Rich Scott, he said, man, I want to be a part of that. We're like, this is awesome. This is great. Rich, this is cool, man. We're going to start meeting twice a month and just dreaming. Along the way, what happens? Scott Henderson. We meet Scott Henderson, and Scott comes and joins us. This is great. We're starting to get a team together. This is awesome. Don and Melody, you guys kind of showed up from day one practically too, right? I gave you a volleyball, didn't I?
No.
How did I not give you a volleyball?
We're lonely.
You're lonely. That's awesome. All right, well, let's go over here. Brent Belleville. The Belleville show up. Awesome. This is great. Man, I love this. You know, back in the early days, there were just a handful of us, and we were just meeting on Sunday night. Like, we're poor church planters, and on Sunday nights afterwards, there's a small group of us, and every Sunday after church, we just go down to Wilhelm's, because Wilhelm's on Sunday night has two tacos for a buck. And so, man, we'd hang out, and Brian Joy shows up. Man, I love when Brian Joy's. Who else has a volleyball? Huh? Over here. Here, let's pretend you're Brian Joy. Brian Joy shows up, and when Brian shows up, sorry, Belleville's, you just fell. Okay. And Brian shows up, and suddenly I'm thinking, oh, man, this is great. Like, I don't have to lead worship and preach. This is awesome. Man, we're having so much fun. We're living life together. This is great. Pretty soon, like, we got, like, the Broadbents are showing up. Awesome. He's crazy. Like, Barry, I remember the first time Barry, I'm hanging out with him. Like, this dude tells some stories, man. I want to hear some more stories. Who else got a volleyball? There we go. Dustin. Yeah. Eric. Golly, how did I miss you? Here we go. Dustin shows up. Great. Connected. Uh-oh. Sorry. Brian Joy just fell out. Okay. Davis's show up. I'm going to talk about you in a minute, Eric. You just reminded me of something. I'm going to talk about you. All right? Who else is over here? Oh, I don't know. Brian Joy. There we go. And Brian, listen, Jonathan, they show up. Right? Now, listen. Let me ask you a question. How long? Katie. Where you at, Katie? Katie moves completely across the country. Come on, Katie. Hit me. Oh, almost. Almost. Ah. Oh. We need Velcro volleyball. Now listen, how long can we maintain this, right? Before what happens? What happens? Like we can only sustain this so long before we plateau. And what happens is the more people that show up don't really feel connected, don't feel a part, right? Some people fall off and lives get hurt. You tracking with me? And so something's got to change. That cannot be the model of the shift church, right? You tracking with me? David, why don't you come up here? Yeah, excellent. Have you guys met the Edsingas? Am I pronouncing it correctly? Have you?
Yeah, it's really good, actually.
I love it. Excellent. Come on up here. Have you guys met the Edsingas yet? Anybody? Woo! David and Lisa? I love you guys. Love it. You guys are going to the next motorcycle. I'm just telling you, you're going to the next motorcycle rally with the Duncans. Okay, excellent. That wasn't an ask, okay? Listen to me. You know what the model for the church really is? It's this right here. You're the model of the church. Romans chapter 12. Verse 14, but the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not make it a less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it less than a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. So if we were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The text continues from there. And so David is this. He's an illustration of us. He's got hands, he's got fingers, right? He's got ears, he's got toes, he's got knees, right? And this is us. Some of you are an amazing finger. And God made you to be a finger. And you nail it, right? And some of you are an amazing nose. Awesome. Some of you are just great feet because God made you that way. Here's the reality. And we need you. You know, here at The Shift, we've got a few people that due to tragedy have lost a hand, have lost a leg, have lost eyesight. We know this, the body can survive without those things. But
a body can survive without different appendages, but the reality is this, that there's going to be some pain along the way. There's going to be some suffering along the way. In fact, there's going to be other parts of the body that are going to have to compensate for the great loss. And that's the truth of the matter. We desperately need one another. At this point, I pulled out, I don't even know what you call it. It's like a small little ball, a mechanical sphere that starts small and you grab the kind of the edges of it, and this ball, it kind of expands out to a larger ball. And I begin to use this as an illustration of a growing church that earlier on we were close, we were connected, but as the church grows, how there's some tension at times that's placed upon relationships, and there's some space, but yet we are still connected. And that leads us into this section.
That's Lou Hines. Where you at, Lou? Yeah, there's Lou. Lou came in. Were you in high school when we first planted?
Just out of
high school. There's Lou right there, right? Over here, this is the Davises. This is the Davises over here, okay? We're this small little motley crew. And then suddenly God began doing this. He began growing the church, right? Began growing the church. And here's the reality. Here's what I was thinking about with you, Eric. You know, your family was the first family that invited the Duncans over. Do you remember that? Going in your backyard? I remember it. You better remember it, okay? I'm just joking. It's stupid. I remember going in the back. Mason, you and Marshall, you guys were playing like a tee baseball. You had a baseball tee, and you guys were hitting baseball. And you dude, I don't even know if you were 2 years old. And you were the first family that opened up your home to us to come break bread. And you know what happened? I felt the connection with you guys. See, the call is this, is that as the church grows, is to live life connected. And here's the truth, and I'm gonna maybe have a heart-to-heart with the Davises right now. The reality is just look at this ball as it expands and grows. There's some distance now between the Duncans and the Davises. There really is. We don't share, we don't break bread often. Yeah, and I'm sad about that. But the reality was there was something in that moment when we just got to know each other and sharing our story, there was a connection made. And that's the call for us to live life connected. And I think there's three ways that we live life connected. Number one is through the power of story and just hearing one another's story and sharing one another's story. All right, that's a big deal, right? So when you shared your story, like even though there's some distance now, we have an opportunity to have a meal all the time together. I feel so connected to you because of your story. Okay, but all's that really, like even clubs can do that, right? And we're not a club. So there's got to be something more that connects us, and that's the gospel. That's the fact that what? You and I are sons and daughters of God, adopted by God. We're an eternal family to live together, right? Like this is a foreshadowing of what's to come. We will eternally be connected. So we're connected through story, we're connected through gospel, and listen, have you ever served with somebody? Like gone on a missions trip with somebody? Huh? Greeted? Done a work project with somebody? I think the third way that we're connected is this, it's through mission. Living out mission together. As you live out mission, you get to know one another. begin to in some way suffer. You know, the reality is one of the reasons that Neil McKinney and I were so connected is we suffered together. And that knit us together. That connected us. The call for the church is this: to live lives connected, sharing our stories, embracing the gospel, and living on mission. Now, so what? How do we apply this? I'm going to ask Katie to come up here, and I want to just kind of interview Katie a little bit in the context of this. Katie, some of you may know this, some of you may not know this. You know, Katie's not really from around here. You guys know that? Katie, her family, and she grew up in Connecticut. And here's the reality: is a single young lady. She's done some traveling. She's living in a few places. And so at one point she moved from Connecticut to Nashville, and then from Nashville to Albany. And in the process of that, there's probably been some loneliness along the way. Why don't you just share a little bit about that? What that looked like, your move to Nashville, and as a single young lady in a new town.
Yeah, so as they're talking about loneliness, I think the most lonely I ever was when I got a job in Nashville, or in Murfreesboro, it's 30 minutes outside of Nashville, and I decided to live in Nashville and commute in to work. But a lot of people from work lived around there, and I really wanted to live in Nashville, and I didn't know anyone. And I moved, and I remember that first Saturday and just waking up and being like, I have no one to hang out with. I don't have a church. I don't know anyone. And I like laugh now, but it was awful. And I went to Starbucks and I was like, how long can I drink the same cup of coffee? I ended at 3 and I was like, what do I do? And it was awful. Like, no one knew. Like, if I didn't show up someplace, no one knew. If I did show up, no one knew me. It was the worst feeling that if something happened to me, no one would know for days because no one was checking in on me. And I actually became sort of friends with the barista that time, and she invited me to church. And so I went to church with the Starbucks barista, and it was really hard.
Yeah. What about life connected with other people? What's that look like through either service, living or on mission, or connected through story? What's that look like in your life?
Yeah, so when I moved here, Scott was like, here's a community group. And I was like, I guess I have a church, and I guess I have a gospel community group I'm a part of, which is so different than it was in Nashville. And so I just remember one of the first weekends I was here, I said, I don't know these people, but I posted on the Facebook page, and I was like, hey, you guys can come play games at my house. And they showed up, and I was like, oh, now we get to hang out. And it's been so cool. I think about the past couple of years of just getting connected with this church. And one of my favorite moments is the fact that I got to go on a mission trip with Kimmy and Ellie and Pam and Kirsty, and they're all in my gospel community group. And there was a lot of people on that trip, but the awesomeness that I get to do biblical study with them every week and then go on this mission trip, like, we were bonded over how hot it was and how gross communion was and how much we saw God work. And so, and now we get to continue to serve together. I serve with all four of them in junior high or high school or college. And it's just that bond of the church and the gospel and the calling in our lives is super special, that I can call them friends and I can call them up and say, hey, things are really hard. And they listen well. And to know that as a church, that we have that gospel that links us, that whatever I'm going through is not going to surprise them.
I love that. So recently, as we talked about today, sometimes, you know, loneliness, it takes us to a place of isolation. And that place of isolation, we're asking questions of ourselves: how am I doing? It's a place where God connects with us. And in our great need is we take that to him. It's a time where God speaks to us and refines us or reminds us of the gifts and the talents that he has. It's the time also where God does this. Sometimes he begins to move us to a new season in life. And recently, Katie has been in this season of kind of isolation where God's been speaking to her heart, where he's been reminding her of the gifts and the talents she has. He's been reminding her of mission and ministry, and he's been calling her to take some steps of faith. And so Katie came to me a few weeks ago, and she said, Brad, I think that God is beginning to move me to a new season in ministry. And so we talked a little bit about that, and at that point she said, maybe it's going to be 4 months to a year. And that was on a Thursday. On Sunday, Kevin Konzelman was leading worship, and he led the song, "Here's My Heart, Lord," and it jacked our sister up, right? And in that moment, God spoke to her and said, no, it's going to be sooner rather than later. And so we had a great kind of quiet cry back here in the second from the back row, and followed more up on that later on in the week. Recently, Katie is doing this. She's taking some faith-filled steps to follow the path that God has for her. And so Katie has submitted her letter of resignation to the elders. And sadly and rejoicingly, we have accepted her letter of resignation. And so this is what this looks like, okay? Katie is not moving away. Yes, yeah, we're excited about that. One of the things some of you may not know, one of the things that Katie does is she coaches. She loves investing in girls, and she coaches at South Albany in a number of sports, and is deeply invested in our school. She has a passion for young girls and mentoring and leading through them through Bible study. So Katie's accepted a position. She's going back into her original field of engineering, so she's accepted a position here in town starting tomorrow, okay? And next Sunday will be her last Sunday on staff here. But her whole goal and desire is to do this, is to continue to mentor and to continue to coach and to lead young girls through Bible studies. And so in some ways, really taking the ministry from the church, inside the church walls, outside the church walls. And she's also asked for permission to continue to be involved in our student ministries here, and basically saying, if you would ask her, like, what do you want to do with the shift? She says, I want to be the best volunteer ever. And so we're excited about that. We're excited for what God is leading and calling Katie to. We're excited. This isn't like us singing a tear-filled Michael W. Smith song right now, right? Yeah. And at the same time, we do feel some sadness, and we feel some great joy. And so we're excited about the season. We're sad about the season. We just tell the truth about all those things. And so next Sunday will be Katie's last official Sunday on staff, but you're still going to see her, and she's still going to be around here. And so that context, I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to invite
Can I say something?
Yeah, I did that again, didn't I? Yeah, go ahead, Katie.
You guys have to know, like, you're my family. You guys mean the world to me. Brad asked me when I told him, he's like, are you moving back to Nashville? And I was like, no. You guys are my family. This is my home, and I'm really, really excited that God's continued to call me here. It is very sad. It is just a huge transition, and so don't want to downplay the magnitude of that in my heart, but also excited for what God's going to do with me as a volunteer and just to continue to invest in this body. So thank you.
I love it. Worship team, come, because we've got to worship our way out of this one, okay? I want to pray for my sister Yeah, praise through this. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that there is a purpose to loneliness. At times we resist it. At times we say, man, that's bad, but there's something beautiful that you're trying to do in and through it in the midst of it, and you speak to us. And so we thank you, God, that you are speaking, that you are active, you are leading, you are guiding, and it's beautiful. It's confusing. We just tell the truth, but thank you for your patience. Now we thank you for Katie. We thank you for her just taking faith-filled steps, just wanting to be obedient to you, wanting to worship you, wanting to invest in our community. What a win, God. What a gift. And so we thank you for her. We ask, God, that you would continue to go before her. We pray for greater influence in the community, greater resources. And God, I just pray for us as a church that you would just teach us something through this. Like, number one, we want to love Katie well through this, but what's that mean for us as individuals too? Like, where are you calling us into our community and around the world? So may we just simply be faithful to that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Father who in heaven reigns, how great and mighty is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now here on earth as is above. Oh, give to us our daily bread. And keep our hungry spirits fed. May all our satisfaction be in you whose grace has set us free. Give us hope, give us faith, help us trust in your guidance. From the depths of your grace, you have richly provided. Thank you.